Good evening. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio. From drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal. The island also known as Jojage in the Ganyagaha language and Muniyang in Anishinaabe Mohan, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end in English and in French. I'm your host, Sarah De A, live in studio on Thursday, March 21st, 2024. It is our funding drive right now at CKUT, and I've got some fresh numbers to share with you. I'm just looking over at the screen. We are almost at $25,000, which puts us so close to the $50,000 goal. The funding drive ends on Sunday, so we have a couple of days left. I don't want to flatter myself, but I think it would be pretty cool if we could get to the midway mark during our hour of live radio here for you at CKUT. I also got a note over at the production department, Spencer, noting that we've had 299 donations so far. So wondering who's going to be person number 300 to make a donation. I mean, I think it would be a stretch to imagine that someone would contribute $207, because that is what will take it to get us to $25,000, but a girl can dream. When you make a donation to CKUT, you're supporting live community radio that is not only propelled by the students at McGill, but also the community here. We are trying to get to $50,000, as I was saying. You can head to ckut.ca to donate. We take any kind of form of donation, from check to Visa to online stuff, whatever. I have some really great prizes lined up for you, and I'm going to tell you about them in just a moment. Yeah, there's not only prizes from CKUT, but prizes from me here on Upstage as well, and our wonderful theater community, which is supporting us during this drive. A fun thing to mention as well is that there is also a live feed of the studio right now, and I'm looking at myself on the computer across from me. So if you want to see what it looks like when I'm in studio doing the show, you can do this. I'm going to try real hard not to touch my nose or like pick it or do anything weird during this production. But this gives you a little glimpse into, I guess, what happens here in the Nerve Center. So ckut.ca/donate or 514-4. I think you can call in as well. I'm just going to double check that number for you. Hold on for the phone number. But here's what we have planned for tonight's show, because even though it is a funding drive, we still have a lot to talk about when it comes to performing arts in this wonderful city. The Giller Prize winning book has been turned into a play, 15 Dogs. It comes to the Siegel Center later this month. Very popular novel. I just started reading it myself. Really a sold out production over in Toronto, being brought here to Côte des Neiges. We'll speak with a performer who originated the role in Toronto, Mirabel Sundar Singh, who will join us in just a couple of moments. Then Colonization in the Cosmos. Emeco Theater is screening a film production directed by its new artistic director, Krista Jackson. You can check it out this weekend at Concordia. We are going to venture to Winnipeg to talk to someone who put this all together and how you make the transition from live theater to the cinema. We will also meet a Canadian Lindy Hop champion, Alice Bourjazé, who is putting on a very cool event this weekend at the Plaza Theater. She also has some masterclass involved if you want to learn more about dance and jazz. This is a really interesting event. It is a little bit outside of the theater scope, but I couldn't resist trying to get her on the show. So Alice will join us at the midway mark. Before the end of the show, another show performance with Toronto Roots, Two Friends, One Day at the Pride Parade. Two writers have written a play about the question of intersectionality and its real-life implications. Black Theatre Workshop is putting on the play. It's called Every Day She Rose. It starts in a couple of weeks at Espace Libre Studio. We're going to speak with one of the performers before the end of the hour. Just a reminder that you can find images of our guests and so much more at Upstage CKUT on Instagram. Really cool photo of Mirabel, my very first guest, playing with these tiny little dogs that will be joining her, little figure dogs that will be joining her on stage for the performance of 15 Dogs and other cool images. So a very quick plug again for our wonderful funding drive. We want to thank right off the top David, who has made a sizable contribution to Upstage again. Thank you so much for that, David. He is going to get to choose from several prizes that we have generously been donated to us from the theater community, but there's still many items left that you can choose from as well. They include from the Siegel Center two tickets for a preview of 15 Dogs, the first show tonight. That is running from March 31st to April the 3rd. Those are the preview show options. The show itself runs longer. We also have two tickets for a preview of POTUS, which is a show about the presidency and all the women working behind it. It's a feminist show. It'll close out the season. Center Theater has made available tickets for Thy Woman's Weeds, which is a feminist spin on Shakespeare, April 23rd to May the 12th. And if you're nice, I can also try to get you in for Guilt, a Love Story, which is running right now. It's fabulous. I saw it earlier this week. The folks at Mainline Theater, who operate Fringe Festival, have a Ménage à Trois pass for the Fringe 2024 Festival that happens in June. I will also have a night out at Montreal Improv in St. Henry at the new venue on Notre Dame. Two tickets for a show along with two drinks. They have a really, really good bar, I must say. The cocktails are delicious. I was there on Saturday evening to host Improv Against Humanity, and I had a beautiful cider. I knocked it over and spilt it on the stage before the show. So you can go to Montreal Improv and have a drink on me and the wonderful team at Montreal Improv, including Mel McRae, who recently celebrated a birthday. She's a performer and owner of the space. And I will also have two tickets to see this play, Every Day She Rose. Our guest will join us before the end of the hour, but that is a Black Theater Workshop presentation. So you make a donation to CKUT, you choose what you want to donate, any amount helps, and then we will be put in touch so you can select two tickets or a Ménage à Trois pass, any of those items, first come, first serve. Reach us at ckut.ca/donate. Enough gabbing from me. I'm going to get our first guest on the line in just a moment. We will take you to the Siegel Center where they are getting ready for 15 Dogs. Stay tuned.
If it sounds like Montreal, it sounds like CKUT. CKUT's annual funding drive is back, and this year we're celebrating the city that made us. From Friday, March 15th to Sunday, March 24th, tune in for an earful of Montreal-made magic. Your favorite programmers will be live in studio and live streaming online for the first time ever. Tune in online, on the good old-fashioned radio, or join us in person. CKUT friends and family will be providing the tunes for an opening party at Bar La Marche à Côté on March 14th and a closing night on March 23rd at Nouvel Établissement. Stay tuned at our website for other events that put the fun in fundraising. Don't miss these celebrations of community radio and sounds of the city from your favorite local DJs. We need $50,000 to keep CKUT on the map. Powering a nonprofit radio station is more expensive than ever. Will you answer the call of your community before it's too late? Donate now by visiting ckut.ca/donate or by calling 514-907-9424. CKUT 90.3 FM, the sound of Montreal since 1987.
Es el ídolo más esperado, Chayanne. Con su gira mundial Bailemos Otra Vez.
Lo dejaría todo porque te quedas.
15 de noviembre, Bell Center. Boletos ya a la venta por Ticketmaster.com. Chayanne regresa en su gira Bailemos Otra Vez. Produce CMM.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca. Just a reminder, we are in our funding drive, and one of the prizes I have to give away is a preview ticket, two tickets actually, to see 15 Dogs, which is coming to the Siegel Center, starting on March 31st, so that's two Sundays from now, Easter Sunday, and running until April 21st, and the preview tickets are for those first few showings. I'm really looking forward to the conversation we will have at Sunday at the Siegel on the 31st of March, and joining us to tell us more about how this play was adapted from the book and what the reception was like in Toronto when it was first performed is one of the performers. Mirabella Sundar Singh joins me on the line from the Siegel. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for taking the time. You are playing Hermes and Others. This is a story with a lot of different characters. Based on Andre Alexis's book, did you have a chance to read his book before taking on the role?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That was part of my research for the role. And unbeknownst to me, I actually figured out that this is like a very, very well-loved book by many people who managed to come see our show out in Toronto last year.
It won the Giller, which is a huge prize for literary fans in Canada. Originally produced by Crow's Theatre and adapted and directed by Marie Farsi. So this performance is coming to Siegel. You were part of the original cast. I love the premise of this story because we're talking about dogs crossing into consciousness. Tell me about the 15 canines who we meet at the beginning of the story.
Oh, boy. I mean, I could name all of them, but they are actually part of, I mean, and the premise really starts with Hermes and Apollo making a wager of what it would be like if dogs, or rather if animals in general, had a human consciousness. And so they happen upon this veterinary clinic, and that's where we meet the 15 dogs at the back of this clinic. They decide to play a game and play this wager with them. And so they give the gift of human consciousness. And then we follow the tale. We follow their journey.
I think everyone's always wondered about what they're... I know when we had dogs growing up, I would turn to my parents and think, what are they trying to say? Like, what are they thinking? we're so obsessed with our pets of any species, but dogs especially, yeah. We love them so much. And then there's also this cool element of bringing in the Greek gods, one of whom you play. Is this really like a mythology mashup with the love of pets? Is that accurate?
I mean... Yes, sure. I mean, I think that we're seeing an instance perhaps that's not in mythology currently, but perhaps it can be added. You know, this is actually when they make the wager, this is sort of this is an insight into actually the Olympian world. And it's something that it takes you, I would say, on a new journey with the gods, is how I would phrase that.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
A fun element is that the show itself has been adapted to the Montreal landscape. For you as an actor, was that difficult to switch? Like, I'm not sure how many references to Toronto happen in the play itself based on Andre's book. Did you find yourself kind of not stumbling or catching yourself saying, I have to use this street name or this location instead of the other one?
Well, the other day in rehearsal, I did say Hyde Park, so perhaps I had to catch myself. Yes, but you know, the point of placing it in this city, actually, as we're adapting it to where we are, I think it's a beautiful concept, right? I mean, it could have easily stayed as the setting of Toronto, which is the original setting in the book. However, what's really great about this is that they create a map, right? These street names, these recognizable places for an audience member to relate to, right? If Montreal is their city, then it makes sense, actually, because the dogs travel throughout the city and they explore their human consciousness through their lens of the city that they're in. So I think it actually makes it quite relatable for people, and I'm really quite excited actually to hear, you know, whether that does read in that way for people or if it resonates in that way for people.
That is the voice of Mirabella Sundar Singh, who originated the role of Hermes and many other roles in the original version of 15 Dogs at Crow's Theatre. Do you feel kind of like the Eminence Grise on the cast because you've had this relationship with the play going back to the original version? You have there's five other actors in the cast. So do you kind of like, do you take on a mentor role almost? With your experience?
No, far from. You know what? I think I'm really treating it as I've done a remount before for a play that I had done, and this is the second time that I'm getting an opportunity like this, and I think it's really special. And, you know, wherever I can offer help or memory recall from what we did in Toronto, because there are some parallels. If any gets a chance to see, had seen it then and gets to see it now, I'm sure they will actually recognize some vignettes in there. But, yeah, with Lucinda and David and Oliver and Amy and Devinder in this cast, they've really just taken it on in their own way. And I really are, you know, our anchor is Marie, our director, who is really guiding us through it. And I am just very grateful to be able to revisit it, because it is something I think very special for an actor to be able to do, especially with something live like theater. So, yeah.
Listeners can catch a snapshot of the stage with these tiny figurines of dogs on our Instagram at UpstageCKUT. The first thought I had, Mirabella, when I cracked open the book was, how do you put these dogs on stage? I don't think you can adapt this. I know it's been done, but how does it happen? So really quickly, the last thing I want to know is how do the dogs get put on stage?
The physical figurines or the...
I'm just curious about the figurines because I just think it looks so cool.
Well, when we do visit the veterinary clinic, you may see the back of the clinic with these little figurines on them. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
They actually help illustrate. I will say they do help illustrate the narration and the journey throughout the piece. So we actually interact with them to help tell the story.
You have five fellow cast members in the show, but you also have the dog figurines.
That's right. And so our, you know, we don't have 15 members, right? It's just the six of us kind of going in and out, and it's quite an agile show in that way. We are, the demand is to, you know, go in and out of characters and really be there, right? This is a show that has a lot of heart, and I think it's really important that, we've been encouraged to really be present in our work. And so it is quite a challenge.
It's been such a pleasure to speak with you, Mirabella. Welcome to Montreal.
Yeah, thank you so
and
much.
We look forward to
thank
seeing you in
you.
The show.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Can't wait.
That is the wonderfully talented Mirabella Sundar Singh, who is going to be performing the role of Hermes, one of the gods who decides to try an experiment by giving consciousness to 15 different dogs, originally set in Toronto in Andre Alexis's award-winning novel, but it's been transposed to Montreal. You can see it as of March 31st, running until the 21st of April. Get tickets for free. I've got preview tickets for someone who donates to our funding drive, ckut.ca/donate. We're running quick on time here. So we'll let you go. When we come back, we are going to go to Winnipeg to find out about a filmed production, which will be in cinemas this weekend. A film production, of course, of a theater show. We'll have that conversation for you about colonization in the cosmos in just a moment.
Thursday, March 28th at La Sala Rosa, Orquesta Criminal launches a brand new album of criminal tunes sung in Yiddish, Bosnian, Greek, Arabic, Polish, Hindi, Spanish, Norwegian, and Dango. Orquesta Criminal is a gender-balanced ten-piece of improv performers busting out adventurous gangster songs from a dangerous and forgotten era. Thursday, March 28th, Orquesta Criminal's album launch at La Sala Rosa with special guests La Delegación. Tickets $20 in advance at casadelpopolo.com. Doors at 7. A co-presentation of Sueño para el Popolo and CKUT.
Can you watch the stars? 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 Can you watch the stars?
some Kelly Watch the Stars by the French band Air for you there. They're coming to Place Belle later this fall to perform Moon Safari, which is an absolutely iconic album. And we're playing Kelly Watch the Stars because we're going to space, and show called Space Girl filmed in Winnipeg last year, directed by Krista Jackson, whose name you know now because she's now the artistic director at Imago Theatre. Wonderful company here. They're having a very, very busy, busy year. They filmed this production in Winnipeg and will be screening it this weekend. Only $10 or $15 for the tickets. Two options there. It's going to be screening at Concordia. Joining me on the line is Raina Masterton, who is the Associate Stage and Film Director for Space Girl. The play explores colonization in space. It's got a beautiful set design image up on Upstage CKUT. And Raina joins us from Winnipeg. Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you so much for making the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
This is a cosmic comedy by Francis Concan. We meet somebody who goes to space. It's a very contemporary, we've been telling stories about space forever, but this is a really contemporary one because we're talking about the new space race, which is billionaires in space. Tell me more about the story.
Yeah, so Lyra is the first girl actually born on the moon. So after they have colonized the moon and set up there, she's the first one to actually be born there. And she's also their number one influencer. So she's very popular. And when the moon is kind of under attack and also the Earth, they're in kind of a space war, as, you know, maybe one day will be when there's the space race. She goes to Earth to try and save it, and when her jet crashes, she has to find a way to get back home without her phone, which is kind of her best friend in this whole thing. So it's a really funny and sci-fi and kind of hybrid mix of, it's got everything, a little bit of romance, a little bit of mystery, and yeah, it's a really fun play that kind of explores all those things and the use of power and power of social media and the spaces we inhabit. So it's a good one. It's a lot of fun.
You had me at she needs to get home without her phone. We're talking about coming home from space to Earth. I don't think I could get home from CKUT without my phone. And that is just a very short bus ride away. So she's kind of left unmoored. And we're touching on so many interesting themes here. What I'm just curious for you as an artist, what interested you the most? Was it the influencer angle? Was it the, you know, race to conquer space by people with all these resources? What stood out to you?
I think it was a lot of about the use of space and our power and who owns it and do they have the rights to it? How do you transfer it to other people? It was a lot of within social media, like how we also use ourselves as a brand almost and that kind of facade of who we are online and who we aren't. And then Francis is like just such an amazing writer. And they make so many fun connections and throwbacks and a lot of fun ideas that just all get compiled into a really beautiful tale that actually has a fascinating message underneath. So it was a lot of the use of social media, but also the fact that Francis wrote this really hilarious, super contemporary story that really dilutes a lot of these themes to be really interesting and accessible to people. I think Francis just has a brilliant mind at taking these really kind of interesting ideas that can be convoluted and complex, or even people who are convoluted and complex as well, and making them into more relatable theme and people.
That's always the challenge, is taking something big and juicy, but making it relatable, bringing it down to a smaller scale, being able to tell a story about it. That is the voice of Raina Masterton, who is the Associate Stage and Film Director for Space Girl. So it was filmed last year. Was this always the plan, that you would have this live performance and then film it to be distributed later?
Yes. Prairie Theater Exchange knew that they were going to have this as a live performance and then record it so that it could travel and be offered digitally. So we knew that this was coming with some of the choices that were being made for the theater, but also knowing how they were going to be changed or really heightened for the digital theater world.
Now, what kind of challenges are posed with, because when I think of live theater, I've seen some stuff that works really great, and then I've seen some other stuff that's been a little underwhelming. What do you do to make it work? Because it really is a different experience seeing something live and watching something in a theater or at home.
Oh, totally. And you know, I think one of the biggest things for theater is, you know, we don't get to control where the audience looks or what they pay attention to. You know, we can try, and we have little tricks and things to kind of guide them to really catch all these moments that we're writing. But theater is a big, big live performance where the stage is big. The performers are doing things that can be different each night. It's really tricky because we don't have the capability of telling them, like, you have to see this thing over here at this corner of the stage. And so when translating it, especially this one, translating it to film was actually really not easy, but it worked just so well because it is such a sci-fi and tech heavy show. Lots of projections, lots of great sounds, and the costumes, all of the technical elements with the phone and live streaming. We found that the choices that we had made on stage that were really big and grand, we actually got to utilize them more when we had the camera and had the power of saying, like, okay, we're going to zoom in here, or we're going to cut to this scene so that we can create more mystery around this person's entrance, or kind of those ideas of film really tells you where to look and what they want you to capture. And so it can be really hard when you have theater that doesn't demand your attention in that way. Whereas I found with Space Girl, it was like, there were so many interesting things that we could lean on for the film, and the angles and the zoom ins and different avenues of using sound too, that really captured a lot more of the tension and mystery and comedy that Francis had written. So I hope people agree. I'm really interested in how, you know, audiences will react to this digital theater on film, but we had a great time filming this and kind of finding some more wins in what we had built originally for the stage.
It can be a challenge to do anything sci-fi or fantasy in a theater space because you're constrained by so much of your budget and the space. So to be able to actually depict, you know, someone on a rocket ship, you have to get really creative. Can you just tell us one element that you thought really stood out from the set and the visuals?
Yeah, one of my favorite moments was the collaboration with the camera crew. I had talked to Tyler and Rudy, who are our camera guys, and said, you know, we really have to, I think it'd be really fun to get really into the moment where something happens in Lyra's home and there's all these alarms going off and she has to escape into an escape pod. And I was really excited by the idea of having a handheld that kind of had more of the shaky and really nervous kind of energy to bring into that, to heighten the need to get out. And Tyler and Rudy were so awesome at carrying these cameras on their shoulders and just running around and getting those scenes put together. And it just creates like such a dynamic moment of Lyra being afraid and not knowing what to do. And so I'm really excited about that. That looked really great with all of the lights and tech that we had with it. It was one of my favorite shots that we actually got.
Raina, I won't be able to see it this weekend, but I hope I can catch it another time because the visuals are just so stunning. There's an image up at Upstage CKUT if you want to see one image of Lyra, the main character, there, and head to Imago's website to see more of the imagery because it just looks like such a rich production. Thank you so much for getting on the line with us from Winnipeg to tell us about Space Girl.
Of course. Thank you so much, and I hope everyone enjoys the show and the talkbacks as well. There's a couple things that Imago has planned for it that are really awesome, and I hope I hope everyone has a great time this weekend.
Thank you so much, Raina. That was Raina Masterton, who is the Associate Stage and Film Director for the production of Space Girl. It was filmed in Winnipeg, which is a city that I love, but it is being screened in Montreal this weekend as part of Imago Theatre's season. The director was Krista Jackson, who's now Artistic Director and comes to us from Winnipeg, actually, and now based in Montreal. So if you want to check out the screening, it's only $15, $10 for artists and students. And this is going to be at the VA screen. VA114 Big Screen, the Teaching Cinema at Concordia University's downtown campus. So this is on René Lévesque. For more information, please head to imagotheater.ca for more information. And as she mentioned as well, as Raina mentioned, there are going to be talkbacks. Now there's multiple times for you to check this out. 82 minutes is the runtime. On Saturday, 1 o'clock, 3:30, and 6 p.m. And then on Sunday, 1 o'clock, 3:30, and 6 p.m. Again, you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Our funding drive is on. Head to CKUT.ca/donate. Couple of options there. You can make a donation monthly. That's actually what I do. I volunteer here and I love this station so much. I donate $10 a month and I've been doing that for years. Also a nice bonus, I'm eligible to get a t-shirt or a tote bag if you do monthly donations. You can also do one-time donations. Any amount you want. Suggestions include $10, $35, $60, $90.30, $120, $240, and $500. A very generous donation came through earlier today from David. Thank you so much. That puts us towards Upstage's goal of raising $200. Now, if you make a commitment to Upstage, because you can choose which show you want to quote unquote donate to, it all goes in the same money pile, but if you want to select Upstage, we have a lot of things to give away, including preview tickets to the Siegel Center Centaur and a Ménage à Trois Pass at the Fringe Festival coming up, and more. I'll have some of that for you when we come back, but next we are running off to the Théâtre Plaza to learn about the immersive swing dance event with Canadian Lindy Hop champion named Alice Bourgesse. Stand by.
Spring Into Action, Outrage, is happening March 11th through 24th. Spring Into Action is an annual event series that is organized and funded by QPIRG McGill and SSMU. Every spring, QPIRG organizes a week of free workshops, discussions, film screenings, and social events engaging local and global issues. We have an exciting lineup of events, including a screen printing workshop, community dinner and zine-making night, Prison Abolition 101, and other practical and capacity-building workshops for organizing in the midst of injustice and anger. Check out the schedule of events at qpergmcgill.org or on our Instagram at qpergmcgill. CKUT's annual funding drive is back and taking place from March 15th to 24th, 2024. We have exciting new merch available for our donors, including t-shirts, tote bags, mugs, magnets, and posters. Thanks to the generosity of this year's sponsors, you'll get a chance to win goodies from your favorite local businesses, festivals, and more, with every donation $35 or above. This year's sponsors include Pop Montreal, Cinéma Public, Constellation Records, Mutech, Festival du Nouveau Cinéma, Encore Books and Vinyl, RIDM, CNL Cycle, Adam Hart, Just Seeds, Lola Rosa, Putting Edge, Drawn and Quarterly, Death of Vinyl, La Rama, La Seltzer, Dispensaire Microbrasserie, Lou Guillaume, Pizza Bouquet, and Paragraph Bookstore. CKUT would like to thank our sponsors for supporting another year of people-powered community radio. For more details on prizes and to donate, go to ckut.ca/donate.
That is a selection from the film Hell's a Poppin', which I found on YouTube when I looked up Lindy Hop music. It has to do with our next guest who's joining us on the line. But just a reminder, we're in our funding drive right now. We're aiming for $50,000 by this coming Sunday. We are just under the halfway mark at $24,793. At the start of the show, we had 299 donations. We're looking for number 300 and hoping it rolls in during this episode of Upstage. ckut.ca/donate if you choose to donate to our show. I have tickets for you to see just about any theater show you want. Well, within reason. I've got a couple of cool things lined up. We'll get to that in just a moment. But now we're going to learn about something, you know, because we cover performance art broadly here on Upstage, most often talking about theater. But we also dip into jazz and into music. And when I heard about this event, I said, I got to get someone on about this. It is called the Jazz Happening, an ode to vernacular jazz. It's going to be happening at the Théâtre Plaza this coming Sunday, and there's master classes leading up to it as well. Joining me on the line is the organizer, a choreographer by the name of Alice Bourgasser, who is joining me on the phone. She also happens to be a Canadian Lindy Hop champion. Hello, Alice. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. When did you become the Canadian Lindy Hop champion?
Last year. It's recently new.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So tell me about this really special event happening on Sunday, because it's not just a concert, it's not just a performance, it's something more.
Exactly. It's a part of my doctoral research thesis. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a program in research creation, so it's really a link between the theory and the practice. So we are going to have amazing artists who are coming from around the world for this special weekend. And it's going to be really a party.
You're also really focused on the African-American history of jazz and what it means to, as we call them, Afro-descendant people today. So you're looking to the past, but also the present.
Yes, exactly. It's really interesting because in our dance community, it's a social dance community, we are a bit disconnected. There is a process of cultural appropriation, which happened since centuries now, but now the culture is mainly white. We are really trying to reconnect African-American culture and Afro-descendant culture to the jazz and to its original intention, and maybe its now intention. So, every artist are going to arrive with their own cultural luggage, and it's going to be inspiring in this way.
You're really bringing people together from all over. We have artists coming in from France and people from New York and elsewhere in the States, and also a performer from Guadeloupe as well.
Exactly, yes. So we have got some of the best dancers in the world. We're coming especially this weekend in Montreal. We also have some dancers and musicians, some band leaders. So it's going to be a really special reunion for us this weekend.
So what can we expect if we head there on the, because there'll be master classes, I think, for people of more experience with the music and the dancing. But if we come on Sunday, we're walking into the Théâtre Plaza, what will we experience?
Sunday is really the big night. It's our main event. And if you do not know how to dance, welcome.
Yeah.
So it's going to be happening by the guest artists at the beginning of the evening at 8 p.m. And then it will be following by a social dance event. So everyone who wants to dance, who are curious about dancing, you can come and just dance in the space with a live band. And we are going to finish with a special DJ, our DJ from France, DJ Kouadjo. We are going to finish the night with a really special party set.
We're speaking with the choreographer and Canadian Lindy Hop champion, Alice Boulgasser, who is telling us about the jazz happening. It's a full slate of events this weekend, but especially at Théâtre Plaza and Saint-Hubert this weekend. Now, tell me about what draws you to this form. What do you love about this music?
Jazz is really special. It's, of course, within a specific context. It's within the slavery context in the United States. But it carried a love of expression and a love of individual self-expression and also a love of freedom and improvisation. So it's keeping really the mind and the body alive because we are improvising all the time, as well in music as dance. So yeah, it's a really lively musical and dancing form.
So something that you have to learn and immerse yourself in, but you still get to have a personal angle to it. You still get to express yourself as an artist.
Exactly. This is the maybe one specific fundamental from the jazz artifact in general, which is the self-expression. So you can come as you are, and you can come to join the community and meet the community. You can come alone or in group. It's for really everyone.
Now, the event, obviously, as you said, is open to everyone, but I want to just circle back to the fact that this is a Black art form performed by Black artists for Black audiences as well. What do you hope people who come to the show take away with that focus on the African roots of this form?
I really hope that we can connect more in people's minds that this is an African-American art form and a Black artistry. I really hope also that you can meet the community here, the student community and the jazz dance community is going to be there. And I don't know yet what we are going to arrive for the happening of the show, because we are going to create it with the artists during a residency which starts tomorrow. So I don't know yet what people are going to receive from this special experience, but I'm sure that everyone is going to be touched.
How do I follow your work, Alice, as a choreographer and dancer? Do you have a page online or Instagram?
Yeah, you can follow the Jazz Happening on Instagram and on Facebook.
Wonderful. Alice, it's been so nice to meet you. Thank you for coming on Upstage tonight.
Thank you really much for your invitation. Thanks.
That is the very talented Alice Boulgasser, who is an organizer, choreographer, and the Canadian Lindy Hop champion. As she said, she won that distinction last year. And she is organizing a really cool event that is going to be looking not just at jazz music, but dance as well. So there's going to be a class on the Friday evening at, you might know this place, you might have seen it on Saint Laurent before, but Cat's Corner. And it's open to all levels, but it is considered a master class. You can head to lepointdevent.com, and then that's on Friday from 6:30 to 8:30, and then Saturday 7 to 9 at Espace 215 on Jean Talon West at 215 Jean Talon West. There is going to be another class with two other teachers and musicians, and followed by a social dance evening. Then the event itself is going to be at Théâtre Plaza. Pointdevent.com for all that, and she mentioned that they're also online, so if you look up Jazz Happening, you'll find that. I'm just absolutely fascinated by this. We're listening to a little bit more Hell's a Poppin', a 1941 film with a Lindy Hop dance sequence here. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM, and you're listening to me, your host, Sarah Day. I'm going to remind you about the wonderful prizes we have for people who are donating to the show and CKUT's mission to raise $50,000 by this Sunday to keep community radio alive. I do this as a volunteer because I love spotlighting artists in this city. It's hard to get a lot of mainstream theater coverage these days, but you can always count. If you tune into Upstage every week, you're going to hear from community performers and artists, students and professionals. They get to come on and talk about their art, and this is a place for that, and no one else can step into it. So please donate if you can, ckut.ca/donate. When we come back, we will touch base with a new performance at Black Theater Workshop with a performer in the show Every Day She Rose.
I'm mistaken. Here comes something now. dance floor. But you better not kill the groove, DJ. Gonna burn this goddamn house right down.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I know about your kind. And so.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Thank you for tuning in for another live show. We'll be back next Thursday with more stories about theater in this city. Just a reminder, our funding drive is on before the end of the show. I'll review some of the free tickets you can get if you make a contribution to Upstage and to CKUT. But for now, we are going to travel over to Théâtre Espace Libre. Their studio is about to play host to the next, I think the closing show actually of the Black Theater Workshop season. It is a performance called Every Day She Rose, and this is going to feel like really, really contemporary and pressing story because it's inspired by an event that happened not a couple years ago. The two writers are pulling from their own personal lives. It's set at the Toronto Pride Parade back in 2016, upon which there was a Black Lives Matter protest happening during that moment. And the story follows two friends who are very close but have two different life stories or life experiences, and they process what they've seen and how it differs for each other. Emma Jade Sims is playing the role of Kathy Ann, which is inspired by one of the writers. And she joins us on the line from Montreal. Good evening, Emma Jade.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here. You're originally from Toronto and you're in Montreal right now. How does that feel?
A little bit weird, but actually very normal. Everything is kind of the same as Toronto in a lot of ways, so I feel fine.
It is a very Toronto story, if only because it is set there originally. But I think Montrealers are really going to be able to relate to the story itself. Tell me about the role of Kathy Ann.
Kathy Ann is bright, energized, around her late 20s, and really trying to find herself as a person, trying to find herself as a friend, as an ally, and seeing what things feel like and trying on different identities and seeing what goes.
So she heads to a Pride Parade protest with her roommate and her friend Mark. They are both really close to each other, but they're coming from two different places. Can you tell me, I guess, like, basically there's a protest happening at a Pride Parade and they process some of it. We're not going to give too much away. What are some of the things that Kathy Ann kind of has to square with what Mark's bringing to the table?
Her race, and kind of what she experiences in the gender that she applies to herself, being a Black and straight woman at the Pride Parade. I don't think she expected to encounter a protest, so we kind of think about where Kathy Ann is at before her views on the world shift by experiencing the protest at the Pride Parade.
So this protest happens. Mark's coming with his own kind of set of baggage. The setting is also in that there's recently been the devastating shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. But then we also have this ongoing conversation about race and policing. It must feel like such a hot button show. Does it also have moments of levity with the stronger debate happening?
Oh, there has to be.
Yeah.
There has to be moments of levity or else the show doesn't happen, right? There's always going to be points of contention and there's always friction in a good story, but a good story also needs to give you moments of reprieve, but not too many moments of reprieve.
I'm speaking with Emma Jade Sims, who is originally from Toronto and Montreal right now, getting ready to incarnate the role of Kathy Ann in Every Day She Rose. I was curious about the playwrights. It's written by a man and a woman, and I think there's some personal elements pulled into that. Were you able to chat with the playwrights in preparing for the role?
No, but okay. I actually have met and kind of do know Andrea Scott. She's super cool in real life. She's super rad in real life. I have not met Nick Green, but I hear that he's a really cool person, but we have not been in contact in regards to rehearsing this process and doing this show. So, yeah, it's kind of cool in that way.
Well, I guess in some aspects you may not want to know too much from the writers, but it's also nice to touch base and to have a relationship with them and take what you will from that into your performance. A nice thing, too, for fans of Black Theater Workshop is this is actually the first, the directing debut for Diane Marie Bridge. Not her debut, but her first time directing a piece as the new director at the company. What has that process been like for you? Has that been a going concern at all?
Concern? Absolutely not.
not as a concern, but you know, she's been with the company for a little while now. But it's just kind of cool that this is the first time we're going to see her work at play. What has that experience been like working with Diane?
So I've been very fortunate to work with Diane more than once. Mm-hmm. She actually directed me in a production of The Mountaintop that took place in Saskatoon, and we had a really very great time there. So being in Montreal with her directing this show was just a treat, to be honest, because I didn't know when we were going to be able to work together again. And I was really thankful that she asked me to be in this production because I really liked this character. And I like this character and I really enjoyed the story. I enjoy that it's a little part of Toronto history in theater form, because I really believe that, like, artists are the historians. And so, Diane is fantastic. She knows exactly what she's doing. And everything has been very seamless in rehearsal. It hasn't been any kind of labor. It's been very nice.
That's wonderful to hear. When you can say that something doesn't feel like work, you know it's a pretty special experience. I think the elements, the themes of this are going to feel very fresh for the audience. How has that felt like for you as the performer? The question of intersectionality, it's a big word that gets tossed around, but this really puts into play what that means for people.
Mm-hmm. Having to experience life in different social locations is a part of what, like, makes life richer when people come together and communicate. It's very delicious for me to play within as well. And intersectionality is obviously important to my identity as an artist, but also very key to the identity of the characters in the show. So yes, we throw it around a lot. But what's really beautiful about viewing intersectionality and experiencing it is that we realize that a lot of the things that we experience as humans are very similar, but also a lot of experiences that we have as humans are very different. And seeing the beauty of the sameness and seeing all of the beauty of the differences, it's really what makes me excited about, like, being in the world.
Oh, that's so wonderfully put. I love your choice of words. I just want to say you used the word delicious to talk about this. Is there a moment you want us to look for in your performance as Kathy Ann that you relish playing, or you think that is really going to stick with people?
From the time you walk into the theater to the time you leave.
That's a beautiful answer and very diplomatic as well. How you mentioned that you're enjoying being in Montreal and putting this Toronto, a very Toronto story to Montreal audiences. I hope we can see you again on stage after this performance in the future. But of course, we will see you on stage coming up very soon.
Fingers crossed I can come back. I really like it here.
Emma Jade, it's been really nice to meet you. Thank you so much for making time for us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
That is the voice of Emma Jade Sims, who is playing the role of Kathy Ann. It is a role inspired by one of the playwrights. She will be performing alongside Francois McDonald, who's playing the role of Mark. Kathy Ann's character is a straight Black woman. Her roommate is Mark, a gay white man, and they both go to the Pride Parade in Toronto. There is a Black Lives Matter protest, and the play looks at how they examine and talk about it. I love this idea because it takes intersectionality with a capital I, and kind of brings it into real life conversations and what it means and what it means for human relationships. So that is going to be happening April 4th to the 13th at Théâtre Espace Libre Studio Space. And I think that's going to be a really great show. You'll want to check out Black Theatre Workshop's website for more information. And this is also really nice for fans of BTW because Diane Marie Bridge, this is her first show that she's directing for the company as well. So April 4th to the 13th, blacktheaterworkshop.ca. And check out, they also have a new podcast series as well. And I believe this show is a CKUT co-production, which is cool. A very big thank you to my guests this evening, including Emma Jade Sims, Alice Bourgasser, Raina Masterton, and Mirabella Sundar Singh. Just a reminder, our donation, our funding drive is continuing until Sunday. Our goal is $50,000. We are just under $25,000 right now. Thanks to David, who's made a donation to Upstage already. Our goal is $200. Please help me get there. I've got a couple of prizes to give away. Preview of 15 Dogs, which is coming up later this month, and POTUS, which is May 12th to the 15th. We have tickets for Centaur Theaters, Thy Woman's Weed, which is April 23rd to May the 12th. And Mainline Theater has offered up a Ménage à Trois, 3 tickets for the Fringe 2024 Festival. You can also have a night out at Montreal Improv in St. Henry, a wonderful spot with a terrific bar, as well as really fun improv. So you can get 2 tickets and 2 drinks. Bring a friend, get them a drink, or take both of them for yourself if you like. That's also okay. And if you really enjoy the conversation with Emma Jade Sims, I have 2 tickets for Every Day She Rose. So all you got to do, ckut.ca/donate. Commit however much money you want. The bigger the amount, the better. And then we'll be in touch and we'll be sending you off to the theater as a big thank you. Stay tuned for Grey Matters up next with my friend Fortner Anderson. My name's Sarah Day. I'll speak with you next week.
Essentially the human rights grievance.
If it sounds like Montreal, it sounds like CKUT. CKUT's annual funding drive is back, and this year we're celebrating the city that made us. From Friday, March 15th to Sunday, March 24th, tune in for an earful of Montreal-made magic. Your favorite programmers will be live in studio and live streaming online for the first time ever. Tune in online, on the good old-fashioned radio, or join us in person. CKUT friends and family will be providing the tunes for an opening party at Bar La Marche à Côté on March 14th and a closing night on March 23rd at Nouvel Etablissement. Stay tuned at our website for other events that put the fun in fundraising. Don't miss these celebrations of community radio and sounds of the city from your favorite local DJs. We need $50,000 to keep CKUT on the map. Powering a nonprofit radio station is more expensive than ever. Will you answer the call of your community before it's too late? Donate now by visiting ckut.ca/donate or by calling 514-907-9424. CKUT 90.3 FM, the sound of Montreal since 1987.